Good morning. How are you guys? My name is Heath. I'm the lead pastor here at Reach Community Church, and I am wearing my shirt underneath here. I am a Spartan. You'll hear about that in a second. And it is my pleasure to have you guys here today. And we're starting a new series. We ended our six-week series called Leading Me to Life with Easter last week. And one thing that Greg said just a minute ago is, you know, Easter isn't just something that we get to experience. It's a reminder of what happened, but it's not the only day that we get to revel in the reality that Christ has paid the penalty of our sin on the cross, and we get to live in the resurrection that he's given us. And so what I want to do for the next 3 weeks is I want to challenge the reality that God didn't just give us life so that you can have life, but he's given you life to have purpose. And wherever you find yourself this morning, whether you are a full-on follower, you love Jesus, you want to see his kingdom grow, or whether you're someone here just at church and checking us out and not really sure about Jesus, I would love to argue that every one of us has a deep down desire that comes out in so many different ways to fulfill the purpose and the mandate and the mission that God has given us. And so I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to get started. Lord, without you speaking to our hearts, without you directing us, Lord, we'll wander around this world trying to accomplish any mission that we can lay our hands on. But Lord, with you, Lord, you can speak mission, declare mission to your children, which you have through your word. And Lord, we can live where we're at on the purpose and mission that you've ingrained in us. And so, Lord, this morning, I just pray that you would open our eyes, not to mission being set only in the place of those who are paid to do missions, but Lord, you have put in us, every single one of us, a heart and a desire to be on a mission that has purpose that's greater than us. So Lord, speak, encourage, and spur us into the things that you have. In Jesus' name. Sorry. I don't know why I am got a little something here today, so I'm going to try not to hack in a microphone that is amplified to into your ears. So I apologize. So here's the idea, is that when you say the word mission, there's lots of things that come to mind. Whether it is a action-packed movie that has an impossible mission, whether it is being a person that is goal-oriented and you have a mission today to accomplish. Maybe this afternoon your mission is to clean out a closet that you haven't been in years, or your mission is to clean up the house or to get laundry done or mow the grass or whatever, but you have a task at hand that you want to accomplish. Well, I'm going to, at the best of my ability, spend the next 3 weeks. For one, the overview of today is that God has placed in us all a mission. Whether you feel like God has directly spoken something specific to you or not, we have something that we can rally behind. Next week, we're going to focus on, well, you know, if there is a general call for missions on the people of God, then what is the mission of the church? And so that's what we're going to talk about next week. And week three, it's going to be, well, it's not just about what's the mission of the church? What's the mission of God's people in general? But what's your mission? Because there is something specific that God has called you into. And I think our world gets better when we get on mission. And so of the two things that I think have to go into mission is you got to know and you got to go. Not like you're like, okay, see you later. Got to go. But you got to know and you got to go. There is a purpose inside of those two things. In my first one, John 17, verse 3, it says, "And this is eternal life, that you would know, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent." You know, so the reality is we have to know this one part of the mission. We have to know Jesus. And we spent a fair amount of time over the last couple of weeks of looking what he's done for us to lead us into this place that we get to know him and experience him. We aren't isolated, but we are connected to God the Father through the sacrifice of the Son. And so there's three things that basically I want to give you today: the who, the what, and the where. And so the who. Matthew 22, which is going to be on the screen, verses 34 through 40. It says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him." They didn't really want the information. They just wanted Jesus to fall flat on his face. And so in as arrogant as he could, you know, being a teacher of the law, he said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" Because they were hoping he was going to answer on an insignificant one, or he was going to choose something that they would have an argument to say, he is a false teacher, he is not who he says he is. And Jesus, being Jesus, wiser than they, and he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." See, they were hoping that he was going to hang on something that they could, you know, just destroy him over. That why would you choose this one over that one? And basically, in two sentences, he has declared the whole mission and purpose and everything behind what was then to them the law of Moses and their laws. And he put them in two things, because the reality is if we'll live in these two characters, we'll love Jesus with all that's in us, and we love our neighbor, then we don't need any of the other commandments, because we don't break any of those, because we love those. And I love the story that follows that, which we're not going to necessarily deal with, but he wanted to make sure that they understand that a neighbor is anyone you come in contact with. Because they may go, "Well, I do love God with all my heart, and I do love my neighbor," because my neighbors, in their minds, were their family, because they were right around them. So they could love those that are near them. But he tells the story of the Samaritan, which is, you know, not someone that they liked, who, teaching what was their neighbor, he had the person that was injured and left for dead. And the two religious leaders walked by him, dying on the side of the road, and left him there because they didn't want to soil themselves and make themselves unclean to help this person that had been injured. And then a little bit later, a Samaritan, a person that they don't like, a person that they disagree with because they were a half-breed, he comes and does, helps this man, puts him on his donkey, takes him to the inn, pays, bandages him up himself, pays for his stay, tells the innkeeper, "If he stays longer and you need more money from me, then I'll give it to you." And then at the end of that, he goes, "Who's your neighbor?" Or, "Who was a better neighbor?" And then they had to, out of their mouth, say the one that helped. They didn't want to say the Samaritan. And so he's put this this mindset on the who. That it isn't who we choose. See, we as a people, we as a church, we as a culture may decide that this is who the mission is for. See, I'm just in the who here, I want to declare to you that we don't get to decide who. You know, there's people, I'm just going to be honest, that you through your lens and me through my lens might look at and go, they're not in the who. They're not in the ones. And I just want us to break the mold of who can and is able to experience the living God. You know, because the religious people of Jesus' day were angry that Jesus was going to the people who they would say weren't capable to experience God, the prostitutes, the tax collectors. They were missing the point. And one thing that you'll hear me say next week a lot is that this isn't about you at all. The church isn't about you. The mission isn't about you. The mission, the church, is always about them. See, our goal in this church, my goal for you, my goal for me, is that we would get outside of ourselves. And that's partly why you see the little graphic in this. You see the one orange guy going in the opposite direction, because that's what church has to do. Because our culture is telling us that this is how life is. Our culture is going to give you a mission that you're going to give your life to, whether it's gaining wealth, whether it's gaining that house and living in that neighborhood and having your kids go to that school and fill in the bank, have that car, have those toys, have the retirement that you need, and go after and let that be your mission. And the danger is you get to the end of that, and if you accomplish all the things you desire, you still end up empty. You still end up, because I believe that the mission that God has put in us will never be satisfied by something else. And see, to accept this mission, you have to make a few choices. You have to make a few sacrifices. See, the question that you have to answer is it worth it? Is it worth it to go against the culture and to love on people that may not want your love, may not desire your help, but reaching out and having a mission that's beyond you? There's a verse in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, and this is a purpose statement. It says, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives a prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air." Yesterday, I ran in a Spartan race, which is a really kind of dumb thing, to be honest with you. You are in mud, and you go over obstacles, and you pay for that. Like, literally, you pay good money to go get completely muddy, and to, like, right now, I'm exhausted, and I hurt more than I probably should. And at the end of this, almost 5 miles of 21 obstacles, and if you fail to accomplish one of the obstacles, you have to do burpees, which, if you don't know what that is, it's, like, torture. Like, I think my hell would probably be just endless burpees. And it felt like that yesterday, endless. I did 120 burpees. And at the end of all of this, you're muddy, and you go over these obstacles, and you're trying to accomplish, and you run through the finish line, and they put this around your neck. And see, here's the reality, is that there are a lot of people that do this, and I don't mean just races, but this is their life. To get a medal that really is, I mean, I paid for this too. It's not even a gift that they gave me for accomplishing it. I paid the fee that gave me the t-shirt that I'll wear proudly, and gave me this medal, and gave me a little bandana and my little tag to run in, and I will feel accomplished. But at the end of the day, this is a perishable thing. And to be honest, I've spent the last year of my life getting up at 5 a.m. Monday through Friday to work out with a group of guys that do this insanity on a regular basis, and to prepare myself to run in this race. And the truth is, when we get on mission, we decide to sacrifice things. I sacrificed sleeping in. I get up at 4:20 Monday through Friday. Up at 3:45 this morning after yesterday. Is that me? Maybe. And the point is that I did all those things to do something that really has no purpose. It has a medal, and I can feel great about accomplishing something, but at the end of my life, God isn't going to go, "How many Spartans did you finish? How many races did you run? How much is in your bank account? What kind of car did you die with? What kind of house did you end with? What did your 401k look like? What did your inheritance look like?" He's going to go, "What did you do for the mission?" Because there is only one thing that is important in the entirety of life, and there is nothing outside of that that has any value if it's not leading to the kingdom purpose that God has placed in every one of us. Because all of these other things go away. All the money will go away. I stole this from a pastor years ago, but a great message, and he had a U-Haul on his stage. With this reality that when you die, there is no hearse that has a hitch on it that's going to carry your possessions with you into eternity. Those things become something else. So if that's true, and we don't want our life to be just about things and building and filling our U-Haul to take to nowhere, then we have to land on something that's going to last forever. And there is only one thing, in my opinion, that lasts forever. And that's the soul of man. And so everything in us, everything in you, whether you know it or desire it or want it, is leading you to a place of looking into eternity and saying, what do I choose? Because you can have a ton of medals at the end and you can accomplish a whole lot of worthless things. Or you can do something that could change our world. I have a video that I'm going to show. It's 2 minutes long. If you've been around Reach for a while, you have seen this video before. I showed it before we launched, and I think I showed it early on. But I just love it, and so we're going to show it, and then I'm going to talk about it and go to our two other things. Sorry for those that may have seen that three times now, but I cannot get over the reality that there's so much more than what we're experiencing right now. I did not move to this area to plant a church so that I could have a church building, so I could have a church stuff. I moved to this town to influence and affect people. And I don't want to ever get so caught up in doing what we do on Sunday morning that we forget that this is a fraction of what the church exists to do. And the great thing about all this and what we're going to get into now, the what in the Great Commission, is that all of those things can be done without you going to seminary, without you entering into full-time ministry, without you really changing a whole lot of the where you are. A lot of that can happen right where you are, with you deciding that what is going on around you, you're going to start investing in things that are more eternal and less in things that are perishable. Matthew 28, and this is after what we talked about last week in the resurrection. This is Jesus' last thing that he is saying to his disciples. This is him commissioning them to the mission that they were going to be on. In verse 16, in Matthew 28, verse 16, it says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" See, Jesus, in the what here, in the what, plain and simply, is making disciples. I have been in ministry for about 13 years. I led a youth ministry for about 10 of those, and I've spent years and years beating my brain up about what does it look like to disciple someone to the point that they're following Jesus. And I don't know about you guys, but I like step programs. I like things that says do A, go to B, and then C, and then you get D. I like that. And I've come to realize that there is no discipleship process that is going to work universally for every single person. There is no A plus B equals C, unless that A is someone willing to be on mission and that B is
someone willing to receive, and that C is both of them choosing to follow. Very simply, he has commanded all his people to pursue, to go into all the nations and make disciples of them. And some of the questions I'm going to ask you in a little bit is, you know, are you making disciples? What does that look like? What does that look like if it wasn't just my job to make disciples? What would it look like in our city that if it wasn't just the staff's job of a church to make disciples? What if in your mission, on your job, it was your call to make disciples? It was your call to share the experience that God's doing in you, where he's brought you in and out of and leading people to that same place, which is Jesus. Right before he left, so this is in Matthew 28, right before he left, he's addressing them in Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, and this is the where. And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." They're asking, like, when is this going to come to a head? When is this going to end? He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and when you will and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And the breaking down of that, because we don't live near those places, we're not really sure what that means. What that means is he's given us the Great Commission to fulfill in our cities, in our states and country, and in anywhere he decides to send us. What would it look like if your only thing was to be on mission in everywhere you go? This isn't me trying to get you to quit your job. This is me saying your job is where God has put you to be on mission. This isn't something that is just, we talk about the Great Commission all the time, but we, to be honest, spend a lot of our times chasing after things that the end won't give us any glory or any satisfaction. It won't please this longing that we have in us to expand the kingdom that God has put us in. So I've got a few questions for you, and then we're going to close and worship and see what God wants to do with us. Is my first one is the simply, you cannot be on mission if you're not a follower of Jesus. So my question, just for us, and this is not for you to answer out loud, this is not, I don't want to see your hand, I want you to ask yourself, are you a follower of Jesus? That's the simple. Not do you obey the rules, not do you go to church, not do you put money in our box at the end of service. Are you following Jesus? Is your life today impacted because you're pursuing? Not perfect. I'm as far from perfect as anyone sitting in this room, but I am pursuing to follow Jesus. Are you following Jesus? What does that look like for you today? And this isn't to condemn anyone. This is the simplicity of who Jesus is literally getting to see the picture of him and to follow his lead. I love the picture where it says, "and lead like Jesus," and it literally had someone getting on their hands and knees and washing someone's feet. My second question for you to, man, I don't know what that is. Is everything else muted? It's crazy. Maybe it's just me. I'm going to get closer to you guys. I did that on purpose. I didn't just anxiously move it around. Okay. My next question for you is, if you are a follower of Jesus, what mission are you on? What right now is your mission? And it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't mean like I'm going to take over North Carolina. It could be one person. It could be one group of people. It could be one, you know, thing that's going on in your work. But if you're following Jesus, then you are called to be on mission. That's the plain and simple of what I want you to hear today. And my question for you in that is that what mission are you on? And the great thing about the reality when you discover if you're not on a mission is that Jesus can give you one right now. Jesus, as we go into our last song, can put someone on your heart that he just wants you to begin to pray for and connect with. We complicate things way too much. When the reality is if you follow Jesus, you just invite people into your following. You just invite people into what you're doing, what's working for you, and you just invite them into the process. And my last question for you is, what needs to happen for you to get on mission? So here's my three. Are you a follower of Jesus? What mission are you on? And if you're not on a mission, what needs to happen to get on mission? See, I don't want our church to grow because of me. Our church growing because of me is dangerous, because then it's fixed to a person. I want our church to grow because of you. Because the greatest influence that I have in this community is you. Because you see more people than I do. I'm one person. You're lots of people. You interact with people that I never get to interact with. And I want to give you encouragement that God just wants us to be simple. He wants us to love him. He wants us to love others. And he wants us to follow. And when and if we follow, he wants you to be on mission. He wants you to walk into the store that you work at, the job that you're on, the house that you live in, and go, there's mission everywhere you go. When you walk into McDonald's, when you go to Port City, Java, when you go to lunch today, there's always something God is doing around you. We just have to be willing to look. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for us. And the first one there, if you're sitting there today and you're like, no, I'm not a follower, and I'm really sure about that, that's fine. I sold cars for a little bit, and it ruined me. Nothing against car salesmen. I did it for about 6 months, and I'm just not a hard sell guy. Like, I'm not going to bend your arm and go, come on. But if you want to be a follower of Jesus, here's the simplicity of it. You're a sinner. Jesus, knowing that you were a sinner and were never capable to make yourself good in front of him, he sent his son 2,000 years ago to die on the cross to pay in full your penalty for your sin. And the only thing that it says that you have to do is to confess in the name of Jesus and believe and trust in him, or just like our first verse, is to know Jesus. And the greatest part of that is you can literally sit here in our last song and go, God, I'm all of those things. I know I'm a sinner. I know there's things that have not made me what you desire. And I trust and believe that Jesus has done what you said he's done. And that's it. And you can pray and you can begin following Jesus. And then tomorrow, you can get on mission. Like, there's not a time frame. I love that, you know, the Gadarene demoniac who no one can control, Jesus came into his life. He wanted to follow Jesus onto the mission field with Jesus. And Jesus said, I've got a bigger mission for you. I want you to go home and tell people what I've done. Simple. That's all we have to do. We experience Jesus and then we talk about that experience with other people. That is the simplicity of who God is. Let's not make it's any more complicated, but let's get on mission. Let's be willing to see God move in and around you, because I'm telling you, all it takes is one time. Like, sometimes, you know, you hear a lot of times when people, oh, you know, I was listening to a Teen Challenge ad on the way in this morning. It was talking, somebody was giving their testimony about heroin, and all it takes is one. I'm just telling you, on the God side of things, all it takes is one time for you to see God move because of your obedience. Hooked. You want to see it again. You want to see God move. So just be willing to fall flat on your face, knowing that God's going to teach you and grow you and mold you, even in our failure, to lead us into the goodness of God. So I'm going to pray. And I'm sorry about the speaker, but it's all right. Dear Father, it is by your grace and your willingness to see your kingdom move that you choose imperfect people like us to be on mission, to call people to you. And Lord, I just pray right now for those that may be sitting in this room that aren't a follower of Jesus. They don't know you, have not proclaimed your name. Lord, I pray that the simplicity of your gospel would hit them with its full force. And I think that's gone. And I just ask that you would just challenge them today to just be honest with themselves and to call on your name and to begin the journey. And Lord, for every single one of us that's sitting in this room, whether you just said yes or you've said yes 20 years ago, Lord, I pray that you would engage us to the ministry and to the mission that you have for us. Lord, I pray that your word would just communicate over and over again this idea that you want to use us to impact your world. And so, Lord, we just give you our lives. Lord, as we go into this last song, as we just begin to ask you what you have for us, Lord, I pray that you would open our ears to hear. Lord, that you would remind us of people that you've put in our life that need you. Lord, that you would just engage us with the mission that's right here around us. Lord, I pray that you'd open our eyes and open our ears and open our hearts to be willing to do what is necessary to help others see you for who you really are. And Lord, we pray these things in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.